Please take your Bibles with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 through 17 this morning. 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17. And let's ask for God's guidance as we study this passage here together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us everything we need for life and godliness. And I pray that you would help us to understand this passage this morning, use it in our lives, to help us to see the need for your word, not just periodically, but daily, and that we would see how vital it is, both for eternity and for the daily life. I pray that you would use this passage in our lives, help me to clearly explain it, and that we would become, through it, more like Jesus. We pray this in his name. Amen. I've entitled my message this morning, Why We Need the Bible. Why we need the Bible. Recently, I was doing some electrical for someone in the church, and it was old wiring, and part of the problem was there was no grounds to the outlets and things like that, and really the only way to fix that is to rip it out and put in new, right? To go back to the source, get good connection to the source, and then also hook up a three-way. If you know how three-ways work, you got to have the right configuration. Otherwise, you'll go to one light, turn it off, and then you go to the other light, and you can turn it off then, but you can't turn it off the other one, and vice versa. You know how it is. It's frustrating. You're like, what happened here? Something's not right. You got to have it the right way in order to make it work. We need the Bible if we're going to get things right in life. Starting with a new connection, a new to the source, and I think that's an analogy for salvation there, and then to follow its instructions in order to live right, to be trained right, to serve as Christians, living for Christ. And this passage, 2 Timothy 3, 15 through 17, shows us why we need that. 2 Timothy is a key passage explaining the need for the Bible in our lives. And so I think we should take time, especially as once a year, just have intentional focus on this. Like appropriately at the beginning of the year, as you're thinking about maybe starting a new Bible reading or just resolutions and a new purpose going into your new year, that we would take the time to see this importance for our lives. 2 Timothy was written by the Apostle Paul to encourage his son in the faith to stay faithful to Christ and to his word. And then to keep on ministering for him, just as Paul had his entire life. Paul is writing this at the end of his life. He's in jail, a dungeon, as the description, especially in chapter 4. He is probably about to be executed, and yet he is seeking to pass on to his son in the faith, Timothy, the necessary things for life. And you keep on keeping on, as it were. And in this passage, I think we can learn from what Paul is telling Timothy why we need the Bible, understanding the three reasons that he gives us in these verses, and especially as we head into a new year to see the importance of this for our lives. So what are these reasons why we need the Bible? The first is that we need the Bible to be saved from sin, to be saved from sin. In verse 15, Paul says, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, the previous verse he said, but you must continue in the things that you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Right, so he's challenging him, keep on, right? Keep doing what you know to be right. And if you remember from Timothy's life, seems as his mother and grandmother were the influential factors in him coming to Christ. And Paul says, that it first dwelt in them. Not that he was given it by genetic heritage, but that they had the influence in his life that through them, they witnessed him and he came to Christ. Right? But notice the conditions of this, that from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Why is that vital? Because our faith doesn't come by osmosis. It comes through the Word of God. What does Romans 10:17 says? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we need this for our lives. But it is a personal response through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Just because you know what the Bible says isn't enough. It is knowing what the Bible says, believing it for yourself, having faith, trusting in the right object. Sometimes you'll hear maybe people say, well, they're okay, they have faith. Is that true? No, they may have faith in the wrong thing. Just because you believe a medicine will help you doesn't always help you. You may be taking poison. There was a case a number of years ago where it turns out it was being poison put into the pills rather than true medicine. And it was killing people. People took that believing it would make them better, but it actually killed them. You can believe in the wrong things. You can believe in Buddha. You can believe in Joseph Smith. You can believe in Allah. You can believe in anything else. But if you don't believe in Jesus, then it is not saving faith. And in fact, it will lead you to hell rather than to heaven. You see, the object of your faith is vital. It's through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the only way of salvation, but you have to get it from God's Word, the Holy Scriptures. It's interesting, the Holy Scriptures he's talking about here that Timothy would have had were the Old Testament. I don't know about you, but many times I don't think of going to the Old Testament to share the gospel with somebody. And yet, it's there. The good news that God would send his Son to die for us. And anyone who has faith in him will be saved. The law was in the means of salvation. The law was a way to show you how much you needed Christ, as Galatians makes clear. We need the Bible to be saved. My daughter the last couple of years, learned how to be a lifeguard. And started by reading the Red Cross manual, right, on how to be a lifeguard. And then to learn from instructors who, they had been through this, they knew what it's like, they give you the tips, they teach you and train you how to save people from drowning. Do you understand how you need the Bible to learn how to be saved from sin? It's better than any Red Cross manual, better than anyone showing you. It is the way of salvation. Have you learned how from God's Word? Like one of the simple ways just is like Romans Road, right? We have a couple of resources. One's the Romans Road to Salvation or the Romans Road. But just going down that, right? Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. What does that mean? Everyone is a sinner. And we cannot save ourselves. We need someone else to save us. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love toward us that while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's the hope, right? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. This is what our sin is doing to us. But what's the rest of the verse? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's what God has done. He's given us the gift of his Son. And because of him, we can be saved. What does the actual do though? Romans 10:9-10. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Right? For with the mouth confession is made into salvation, with the heart man believes into righteousness. This is the way of salvation. Do you realize that faith in Jesus Christ is crucial to be saved? And you cannot save yourself. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Or Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. This is the way of salvation. And then are you sharing this good news of the gospel with others? As Jesus commands us, you shall be my witnesses in Acts 1:8. In Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the uttermost parts of the world. Wherever we go, we would not just testify, but be his witness. Live it out and then speak it out. to those around us. But it starts with the Word of God. Do you see how we need the Bible to be saved from sin? It's the first reason there. Second reason, we need the Bible to change for good. We need the Bible to change for good. Verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Meaning this is what it's beneficial for, good for. What? For doctrine. What is doctrine? It's teaching what to believe, to think. For reproof, this has the connotation of showing where your belief is wrong, your thinking is wrong. For correction, this has to do more with your behavior, showing you where your behavior is wrong. And then, lastly, for instruction in righteousness, teaching you the right way to live or behave. Now, if you notice there, you have two positives, two negatives. You also have two doing, having to do with your thinking, having two having to do with your actions, your behavior. This is what the Word of God is good for. Now, notice the verse starts with all Scripture. Now, it's interesting, the word for Scripture in verse 16 is different than the word for Holy Scriptures in verse 15. It's actually the word that Paul uses in 1 Timothy chapter 5 when he is talking about, he gives proof of why you should pay pastors more that are in laboring in the word and doctrine. In 1 Timothy 5:18, it says, "For the Scripture says," and here's the first quote, "You shall not muzzle the ox which treads out the grain." Right? That's a quote there from the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 25, verse 4. Then he says, "The laborer is worthy of his wages." That is a quote from Luke 10, 7. So Old Testament and New Testament, and notice what he calls it, "for Scripture says." That's the same word that he uses here in verse 16. So when he says Scripture, he's talking about Old and New Testament, because he says all Scripture, right? Biggest little word in the English language, inclusive, all. It's all Scripture is given by inspiration. Now, what does that mean, given by inspiration? Inspiration is literally God-breathed. What does this mean? It's that God is the source of all of it. Now, we know from 2 Peter 1, 20 and 21, that God wrote Scripture by taking, it says, move the Holy Spirit, holy men of God to write Scripture. So that ultimately, even though men wrote it, it is not a product of man. This is God's very words. That's why when you read from Genesis to Revelation, it makes sense. It's cohesive. Because there is ultimately one author. It is God. And He is the source of all this. And this isn't just a self-help book, though there is much in here that is good for us in so many ways, right? Like, as we just talked about, and how it's good for change, you know, telling us what to think, what not to think, what not to do, what to do. This is the value of it, but ultimately it's because it's God's very words. It is God communicating to us. And as the one who made us, He has the authority over us to tell us how we should live. And so when He gives us instruction on what to think, what not to think, what to do, what not to do, that is appropriate. That is right for Him to do that. And so when He tells us, you know, where our thinking is wrong, like Ephesians 4:13, right? You know, your mind was dark, it was corrupted, it was totally depraved, that we should listen. Telling us what we should believe, what we shouldn't believe. Then it shows us where our correction, this is the point, the law, you bring our your life in. The law is like this magnifying scope, right? This looks in, are you doing what He says? Now, in and of itself, the law can't do any more than that. It can't do anything other than show you where you are wrong. And Scripture is clear, like Galatians, that it cannot save you. All it can do is condemn you. But God's Word does give us hope. It tells us where we should turn, what we should do, instead of what we have been doing. Like Ephesians 4, 25, through really the end of the book, as it's saying, no longer tell lies, but speak the truth with one another. Be angry, but don't sin. Don't let the sun go down in your wrath. Don't steal, but rather work hard so you can give to him who has need, and so on and so forth. And again, as our Creator, he has the right to tell us that. Not only that, he sent his Son to die for us, our Savior. And as the one who knows how it all works, he knows how the best way to live life, we should listen to him. The book of Proverbs is all about the way of wisdom, to properly apply the knowledge that he's given us to our lives in a right view of God. And as Jesus says in John 17:17, he says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. John 8:32, the truth will set you free. And his goal is that through his word, we would know him and then know how to live. Truth is what corresponds to reality. And really, the Bible is the only worldview that really explains everything in life. Like the origin of life, why there's different sexes, what marriage came from and what it is, and sin and disease and death and clothing and languages and religions and human government and why Israel's unique and how life apart from God, what that looks like and what life with God looks like and where does conflict come from and so many more. 2 Timothy 1:3 says, he has given to us, his divine power has given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness. And if we are going to truly change, not just keep being the dirty, rotten sinners that we are, then we need the Word of God in our lives to tell us first how to be saved and then how to change on a daily basis to be like Christ. You know, little boys need moms in their lives, right? Because there are times when their clothes don't match, they're dirty, they're stinky, and they don't realize it, right? And thankfully, they have mothers that can tell them, no, you need to go change and try something different because that doesn't match. Or, ooh, that just stinks, right? What's going on here? What's the problem? Maybe you need to take a bath or shower, wash your hands. Or that doesn't look good, right? You got something on your shirt. You need to go get that, change it and get something different. We'll clean this up. It's kind of like the Word of God does in our lives, right? Do you understand how you need the Bible for change? Do you realize that the source of the Bible is as vital as it's from God, not man? This isn't just some self-help book that is optional. But it's more like your instruction manual with the codes for doing what's really the best way to play it, play a game or something. Do you understand how the Bible shows you how to think right, where your thinking is wrong, where your behavior is wrong, and how to live right? Do you realize this is because the one who wrote it made us and everything? He knows how it all works. And so we should listen to him, not try to figure out on ourselves. Reality is you will not live long enough to figure out life on your own. Right? The saying is, learn from the mistakes of others because you won't live long enough to make them all yourself. God's given you a manual. Somebody has called it basic instructions before leaving earth. Right? Read it. Study it. Apply it. Are you looking to the Bible? To God's Word, to know how to live right. Not to man, not experience or yourself. Because reality is yourself, your mind is just as corrupted by sin. And you're going to get it all wrong if you trust in your thinking. In fact, this is what my pastor said years ago. He said, the human mind is almost infinite in its capacity for self-justification. You don't believe me? Look at some of the worst people in history and what they convinced themselves of. That they were doing the right thing for everybody. Killing millions. And your mind is just as corrupted. Just maybe lacks opportunity. Do you realize that you need help to change? You cannot do it on your own. Paul in Romans chapter 7, as he walks through, he says, the things I want to do, I don't do, and the things I don't want to do, I do. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? He was trying to do the right thing, and he couldn't. And he found himself doing wrong things even when he didn't want to. That's what happens when you depend on yourself. When Scripture calls us to work out our own salvation in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, in the very next verse he says, but it is God, or for it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. The motivation and the enablement, the power, come from Him. We have responsibility. We have to work out our own salvation or sanctification, as it means there. But it's through His enablement. If you try to do it on your own, you will fail. You'll end up in legalism or despair where you say, it's not worth it, and you walk away. It is only through the enablement of the Spirit of God that He will help you to do what He calls you to do in His Word. So do you see why you need the Bible to change for good? It's the second reason. Third reason, here in verse 17, we need the Bible to be trained for work. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul's explaining here that the Bible is all that the man of God or the person of God needs to become complete. And the word for complete here is the idea of being proficient or capable. It's that you are totally enabled. And it says then to equip you, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The idea of equipping is to be made ready for service, to be furnished. And notice how he goes on to say, for every good deed, every good work. This is the goal of God. God's Word is not just so that you get a big head and you know lots of things about God and all His rules. That doesn't do you a bit of good in the end. It's what are you going to do with it? God saves us for service for Him, not for our own interests. If you go to Ephesians 2:10, right after how we're saved by grace through faith. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, good deeds. That's the point of His salvation. Titus 2:11-14, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So how we should live. But notice he goes on to say, he is purified or set apart for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. See, this is the end game of your salvation. The goal is that God, that you would use the rest of your time here to serve Him. What does that look like? It looks like telling others about Him. It looks like being His hands and feet, doing good to those around, improving your community and helping others to know God and to follow Him. This is what good deeds are. Helping people see who God is. As Matthew 5:16 says, but let your light so shine before men that they may see your good deeds and what? Glorify your Father who is in heaven. That's the ultimate goal of this. Now notice it is thoroughly equipped for every good work. The Bible is sufficient to enable us to do this. We don't need anything more. We don't need more revelation from God. He has given us what we need. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 8 through 10 talks about how the complete, or the perfect has come. That's the completed Word of God, in contrast to the partial revelation, where God needed to give more revelation because it wasn't complete yet. The tongues, the supernatural knowledge, the prophecy, But when the completed Word of God, which we have, this is sufficient to enable us for life and ministry, to serve God. Don't look for other revelation. You have what you need here. Let's study it, learn it, apply it, grow in it. When I worked at PDI, which is a warehouse for Hy-Vee, when I started getting trained in forklift operation and receiving and loading, the first thing the instructor did was sit you down and give you instructions, right? Had to read things, and then the trainer took me out, started showing you the piece of equipment, talking you through, then finally lets you get on and start using it, training you thoroughly before I could go out and run a forklift and receive product in or load the trucks. Do you understand how you need the Word of God to be thoroughly trained for work in life? Our founding fathers understood this in our country. You know what the first curriculum that they used in the schools was? The Bible. Because they understood principles like Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? But fools despise knowledge and instruction. You need the Word of God. You got to start with the Word of God. In fact, they resisted to using any other books, even though some of those other books were good, because it would take away time from studying the Bible. This is the foundational manual for life. And we need to be in it, studying it. Are you relying on the Bible to know how to live and serve God and others? Right? What is our main job? Matthew 28:18-20. Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that He has whatsoever He commanded. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That is our marching orders. And yet, how many times are we distracted by everything but that? I got to pay the bills. I got to spend time with my friends. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to, got to wash the dishes, do the laundry. The tyranny of the urgent, as it's been called. And we lose focus on what is should be our real goal in life. Why are we still here? We're here to serve God. Once you trust in Jesus Christ, in a sense, you're not going to get any more saved or justified. Right? You are perfect in God's eyes. Now, their sanctification process is still ongoing. But God wants to use you in the lives of others, the good deeds. And He equips you through His Word. Is the Bible the first place you look for the answers, or is it the last place you go? Do you also have confidence that it is all that you need? 2 Timothy 1:3 says, "Has His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." Do you have confidence in it? Or are you like, that doesn't tell me enough. I need to go read the latest self-help books. I need to talk to the experts. If those experts aren't pointing you back to the Word of God, then they're just relying on man's experience, which is only going to get you so far. This is what we need to be trained for life and ministry. And part of this is, if you have confidence in the Word of God, that means you're going to go to it regularly. Are you in the Word of God every day? Always turning to it, always looking to it, and then seeking to follow it. Psalm 119, I would challenge you to study that out. Verses where it says, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path." Or, it says that my word have I hid in my heart that I not sin against you. The value of the Word of God, as David expounds on that. Or Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon urging us to listen, to value, keep God's word as the apple of our eye, like the iris. You protect that. You need it to see. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him and He will direct your path, as verses 5 and 6 say. He tells you how to, you know, give of the first fruits to the Lord and God will supply your needs. This is how we should value the Word of God. Are we doing that? Or are we looking at things like experience? We'll just figure it out in life. That's a hard way to live. I like the expression, you know, that school hard knocks is really hard because it's a hard teacher because she gives the exam and then the instruction. I don't know about you. I like to know what I'm going to need to be studying and tested on for the exam. And ultimately, that leads to pragmatism or survival, not the abundant life. Jesus said in John 10:10, I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. And yet, how many times are we just trying to survive? Well, we'll do this because it works. You know what? I got to look out for number one because nobody else is going to look out for number one. Right? That's pragmatism. That's not what God says. And it leads to an existence, but not really thriving in life. You know what God's plan is? Is that you love Him, you love others. And when you do that, it's amazing how you turn out okay, right? You will be taken care of. You put God's priorities first, like Matthew chapter 5. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. But what do we tend to do? We worry, we fret. And God knows that we need all those things, right? Don't be like the Gentiles who live that way. Put God's priorities first, and He will take care of you. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. We look to man's wisdom. We Google it. Is that your first response, or do you look to the Word of God? I'm going to call him a phone a friend. What does Facebook have to say? That's scary, right? Or even your parents. You know, as wise as your parents are, they are not the Word of God. Worse, that we look to mystical things. Our horoscope. Our crystals. Superstition. I got to do this. We were in Greece, you know, in the monasteries. People walking and crossing themselves. Got to do this right ritual. Or the whole rituals of, well, you know, don't step on the crack or break your brother's back. I mean, silly things, but yet how many times do we do that not thinking what God actually says? Do you realize the Bible is genuinely all you need? Now, it's not all the information you need. There's more information you need in life. But in everything that it speaks to is authoritative, and it is sufficient to live a life that is holy, godly, and everything that you will really, truly need. That's what it means. Do you see how we need the Bible to be trained for work? Guys, when you're assembling something, what do you tend to do? First, you look for the picture, right? And then after that, I don't know, you know, the instructions are only there in case you get really stuck, right? That's how we tend to look at that. Do you understand why we need the Bible? Not just the picture, we need its instructions for daily life. And are we too often, we're like guys assembling furniture, we're trying to wing it. That doesn't work. Do you see that we need the Bible to be saved from sin, to change for good, and to be trained for work? Do you see why we need the Bible? Will you use it daily in this next year? Encourage you, pick up a Bible reading schedule. You know, use the resources. If you don't have a daily plan, get into the Word of God and get growing in Him. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You that it is all that we need for life and godliness, that You have given us everything we need. It is from You. And it tells us what we should do, what we shouldn't do, how we should change, how we're thinking, and what we should think. And equips us for every good work. Help us to depend on Your Word this year, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.